Bridges. Her parents sent her to school all by herself at 6 years of age. Every morning she walked alone through the heckling crowd to an empty school. White people lined up on both sides of the way and shook their fists at her. They threatened to do terrible things to her if she kept coming to their school. That's the sort of thing that she was. Integration is a mortal sin. These are church-faring people. But every morning at 10 minutes to 8, Ruby walked head up, eyes ahead, straight forward through the mob. Two US Marshals walked ahead of her and walked behind her. Then she spent the day alone with her teachers in that big silent school building. Harvard professor Robert Coles was curious about what went into making of a courageous child like Ruby Bridges. He talked to Ruby's mother, and in his book, The Moral Life of Children, tells what she said. And this is what she said. There's a lot of people who talk about doing good, and a lot of people who argue about what's good and what's not good. But there are other folks who just put their lives on the line for what's right. There are other folks who just put their lives on the line for what's right. Now, that story jumped out at me in relation to what I've been studying at the moment. And while the struggle is not over civil rights, it's even more important. It was a struggle over eternal destiny of humankind. And in this book of Acts, in the history of the early church, we find a whole bunch of folks who just don't talk about doing good or argue about what's good or what's not good, but who put their own lives on the line for what is right. We find people just like those of us gathered here this morning that had the boldness to step out in faith, putting their own lives in jeopardy to preach the message that was not popular with many of our culture which they lived. That's why some of you are here today, because someone who you knew or know preached the gospel to you. My prayer is that this story becomes our story, and that we would acquire the boldness of faith that is necessary to do what Jesus has asked us to do. Jesus has given us a simple plan to save the world. This is not something out of an American movie or something, but this is a simple plan that I'm going to share with you today, how to save the world. There is a formula that Jesus has given us that if followed this morning, will have an impact on our world just like he did in the ancient world recorded for us in the book of Acts. So the bold challenge in your outline. A bold challenge. The word is challenge. The passage I'm about to read to you has been heard many times by you, but today I ask that you to hear this as Jesus was right now speaking personally to you. And he is. He's flowing through me. This morning in my office, I said, Lord, empty me of myself and fill me afresh of your Holy Spirit so the people will hear you, not me. In Acts 1:8, it says, but when the Holy Spirit, this is Jesus speaking, but when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power and you will tell people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, most likely, just the 11 apostles, isn't it amazing that we're talking about apostles this morning, and Pastor Fred didn't know what I was preaching on this morning, and Amazing how God just weaves everything in together. Now, most likely it was just 11 apostles were with Jesus when he made this promise, which was also a challenge to them. And what did he say to them? He says, you will start in Jerusalem, your hometown. And then you'll go into Samaria, which is going to be the opposite end of the tracks, to people you don't normally hang out with, to say the least. And then you will take the message to the ends of the earth. And to see this challenge fulfilled, Jesus promised them the power of the Holy Spirit, who would give them the boldness to do what he has asked them to do. Okay, we now need to understand that this challenge was not just given to the apostles that day, but has been perpetually given to all disciples of Christ down through the ages. See, those 11 apostles had to deliver that message that Jesus gave to them to the people that they were ministering to, and so on and so on and so on. So that anointing, that word that Jesus actually spoke to them, actually went down through the ages to right here today. That challenge has been the ultimate challenge. You can forget about the ninja challenge that's going on at the moment, but this is the ultimate challenge for humankind. Because one day, as it says, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. I spoke to a pastor today during the week, and he was a bit perplexed by, well, what's going to happen if the marriage bill goes through, and what happens if? And I said, you know what happens if? Praise God. God is always in control. Always in control. And we've got to start thinking that. And this is what happens when we're going through trouble like this, and we're going, oh my goodness, you know, what are we doing? The church is being attacked. Oh no, we're being persecuted. So what? God is in control. He always will be. And then right at the end of time, I know that every tongue, every knee will bow. Wow. So the challenge that Jesus gave to them is the same one he gives to us. And it's a challenge that without the Holy Spirit's empowering would seem quite impossible to complete. The challenge in a nutshell is to tell others about Jesus Christ. With words, of course, but with a lifestyle, okay, that matches what is coming out of our mouths. That can be very hard. That can be very hard for me to do as well. All right, so I'm just letting you know. There are times, there are even conversations recently that my wife and I have had and said, whoa, you know, we've got to pull our socks up and start behaving properly. She's talking to me, of course, but it's true, isn't it? We can say we're Christians, but do we act it out in our life? We can come here and praise the Lord, and like Heather said the other week, we can worship here, but do we worship out there? We're challenged to give the message and to live the message to our Jerusalem, to our Judea, to our Samaria, and to the ends of the earth in the modern world. Now I want you to look at the screen where we find some concentric circles of concern. Okay, now this is not to hypnotize you or anything like that, okay? I'm not going to freak you out, okay? But the first circle is myself. This is who we've got to reach out to, is ourselves. How do we do that? By reading the Word of God, by praying, by getting connected into a connect group, by worshipping the Lord, myself, ourselves. That's where we've got to start with. The second one is brothers, families, was families, which was brothers and sisters, mums and dads, uncles, aunties, cousins, sons and daughters. This is the second group we're meant to reach out to. And believe me, if you can't reach out to them, how can you reach out to the next one, which is friends and acquaintances? And then the next one is country. We reach out to the country. And then number five is the world. Who here has been on a mission trip overseas? A fair few of you. How easy is it to minister the word of God overseas? How easy is it to walk into a church or walk into some place or even on the street and start jumping up and down for Jesus? Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Pretty easy, isn't it? You see, over the times, I believe we have started working from the outside and trying to work our way in. Because the enemy has put it upon us, fear, intimidation, anxiety. So we can go out to the world because we know we're going to come back and no one's going to really know us. But how many of us are actually reading the Word of God? How many of us are actually praying? How many of us are actually just in a connect group and really getting into it and studying the Word? See, I believe here we are here. We're operating around here. I believe God's saying, tell my people, I want relationship with them. And to remind them that I have given them the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to tell their family members without fear, intimidation, anxiety. Now, what I need to do is to write a list of who these people are and then begin praying for an opportunity for a divine appointment to reach them for Jesus Christ and then taking that opportunity when given. I know what some of you are thinking. Oh, he's going over to that basket again. He's bringing up these other people. How many people are in this room today that were invited in the last 12 months? One, two. Wow. I should take two of these out. But I wonder if you two people were invited by someone in this church. How many people in this room have been praying for the people that you wrote down in this basket? And you've been praying, and you've been praying, and you've been praying, and you've been praying, and you've been praying. You know what, I'm getting a picture now, and you've been praying, getting a picture of Moses standing at the edge of the Red Sea, and you've been praying. You see Moses turning around, looking around, going, oh my goodness, and you've been praying, and God says, shut up, just do it. You have been given the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of us, and I'm guilty of this too, I pray for my buddy, one of my best mates. I keep praying and praying and praying. And, oh, I want to mention Jesus to him. He's going to... God has given me the power of the Holy Spirit to be bold. He has given you the power of the Holy Spirit to be bold. This isn't something that I can take lightly. It's something that is not an option for me. This is something that I will make part of my daily experience if I'm going to live in obedience to Jesus Christ, remembering it's not a requirement, but it's a response to what he's done on the cross, that I'm doing this. In other words, if I'm not working on these concentric circles of concern, I am living a life in direct disobedience to the one I claim as the Lord and Saviour. There are no exceptions given. No, oh, you miss a turn. No way around if you are a Christ follower. Is it difficult? Yes. Sometimes it is difficult. Is it scary? You betcha it can be scary. Well, there's some of you probably thinking, you don't know my brother, or you don't know my mother, or you don't know my sister. God does. That's why He gave you the power of the Holy Spirit. Is it something that only some people are asked to do? No. Every disciple is expected to obey this directive of Jesus Christ. So that's the bold challenge for you this morning. Now you add plus a bold acceptance. Okay, the word acceptance. So you've got a bold challenge plus a bold acceptance. Now I want to share with you two cartoons from a leadership journal. Some of you may get it, some of you just laugh. Just laugh, okay? Okay, this is a cartoon of the Light Church, and it says, for those who can't read, it's the Light Church, spelled L-I-T-E. Light Church. It says 24% fewer commitments. Home of the 7.5 tithe. 15-minute sermons. 45-minute worship services. And we only have 8 commandments. Your choice. Just 3 spiritual laws and have an 800-year millennium. Everything you've always wanted in a church and less. Go to the second cartoon. This is a cartoon of the church secretary that has a phone in hand speaking to the pastor into the adjoining office, and it says, "Oh, it's Monty Williams. He wants to know if he can audit your discipleship class on total commitment." Some of you will get it, some of you won't. That's all right. Just take a photo of it and then work it out. But I ask you to laugh anyway. The sad thing is that those cartoons aren't too far from the truth in some situations in our church today. In the church today. You know, missionary Karen Watson counted the cost of following Jesus. That's why she left a letter with her pastor before going to Iraq. She went to provide humanitarian relief in the name of Jesus, but was gunned down in the country she came to serve. The letter began, "You're reading this letter, if I died." It included gracious words to family and friends, and the simple summary of following Christ. She said, "To obey was my objective. To suffer was expected. His glory, my reward." Now, one of the problems we have in Western Christianity is that following Christ has become way too much comfortable for all of us. When someone like Karen Watson accepts the call to be bold in her faith, it was with full recognition that she was laying her life on the line for Jesus Christ. The same is true in the early disciples in the book of Acts. Now, while I'm not looking for you all to be martyred or martyrdom and persecution, I do think that the lack of those things have made the Australian church is somewhat flabby when it comes to realizing the seriousness of what Jesus is challenging us to do. What I'm asking of you today is to seriously consider in ways you and I and this church are taking Jesus' message to our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And what I'm hoping is that you will say that today is the day that you will accept the challenge to have a bold faith that tells the people in your sphere of influence about the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is true. The truth will set them free. And what I'm hoping is that you'll say that today is the day that you'll accept the challenge. That will not only change the lives of those around you, but will change your life as well. There is nothing like coming out of telling someone about the truth of Jesus Christ. Transformation of lives for eternity. That's what this church is all about. Look at the sign behind me. You know, I'm going to be out there at the cafe over the next few weeks, and if I come up to you and I say, hey, what's the vision of this church? And you can't tell me. You owe me a cup of coffee? A cake? No cake. Coffee, all right. Water. Owe me a water. But if you tell me, I'll say, well done. Too many coffees. Now, if we're not willing to do that, if we're not willing to tell others about Jesus Christ, can we call ourselves Christians? Well done. No. What is the worst thing that can happen to someone, to us? What's the worst thing that could happen? Like last week, sent a letter into the Australian, and it was like standing in front of a firing squad in the world. A train. But you know what? It didn't hurt me at all. I actually felt empowered by the Holy Spirit to stand up for what is right. And I lamented. I wasn't sad, but I lamented about some of the comments that were coming through. So what's the worst thing that could happen to us? You know what? Someone could make fun of you. Oh, really? But some of us are scared of that. Don't be. Someone's going to make fun of you. Ooh, whoopee-doo. Some people may think that they're going to sue us. No. They're not going to sue you for it. Depends what you say. Make our lives uncomfortable. Oh, really? Look what Jesus did on the cross and on the way to the cross. Was his life uncomfortable? Are we willing to pay that low price to save the world for Jesus Christ? That's the question. I know that some of you want to tell others about Jesus Christ, but you're too scared to. And you know what? Sometimes I am too. You know, just a story. We did a growing kids class. I think I've shared this a couple of times before. We did a growing kids class, 18-week course, and it's all about raising parents, really, raising parents to have children and all that. And it's biblically based, and it's everything comes out of the Bible. And Sally got a phone call from one of her friends and said, oh, can this guy come in? And yeah, he can come in. And he tried to get in our front door. That's how big this guy was. big beard and everything. And he was an associate back then of the Gypsy Jokers. So he had tats and he was a real big guy, lovely guy. Anyway, he sat down and he was colourful with his language, and I had sweat dripping down my back saying, "Take me now, Lord," and saying, "Mate, can you calm down with your language? You know, just, you know, we don't want any F-bombs in the house." Oh, yeah, no worries, mate. Yeah, righty-o. And then all of a sudden, we played the video, and Bill Ezo comes out and goes, "Well, praise Jesus. Jesus is Lord of our lives, and Jesus is this, and Jesus is that, and yippee-yahoo-wee." In the meantime, this guy was looking at it, and I thought he was thinking, "I'm going to kill this guy who's in the lounge room," and I had sweat dripping down my back. At the end of it, he said, "I love it. This is the best thing I've ever seen." And we still have a relationship with them today. See, God knows. We shouldn't act in fear. We shouldn't do life in fear. Just the other day, a few months ago, I was at Alfred's checking out their chips and burgers to see if it was okay. And anyway, there was an affiliate bikey group from the Rebels, and they looked a bit different. So I walked up to them and started talking to them. I started talking about the Band of Brothers. And so we started talking, you know, and they said, "Oh, the Band of Brothers, we're a Christian outfit." And, you know, these guys were the affiliate of the Rebels. And I just started talking, da da da. Anyway, I found out that last weekend I didn't go on the Band of Brothers ride, but Chris was telling me, so that's you're safe, mate, because you probably didn't have your Bible, but you preached the word. But he sat down with a group of guys from exactly the same group, and they said, "Oh, yeah, we've heard about the Band of Brothers." And so Chris was able to give them a New Testament, a biker's testament. And they accepted it, and they took it in. Now, I wonder if that would have happened anyway, but I wonder if they hadn't have heard about the Band of Brothers that when I went and spoke to them before. You see, God will give us many opportunities. And some of you are probably thinking, "Oh, it's all right, Kerry, you're a pastor. That's what you're paid to do." No, that's what we're all to do. I mean, I'm not threatening. If you're a bloke and you're little, it's okay to go up to a real big bloke and say, "Hey, do you know Jesus?" He's not going to flatten you. If you're a big bloke, just go humbly. Look out. Take me with you. But I know that some of you want to tell others about Jesus Christ, but you're extremely shy and you don't know where to begin. And that is completely normal. That's okay. But one thing that can overcome our fear and our timidity or whatever else that's holding us back is the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus has promised will give us the ability to tell others about him. In other words, I can come up with all these kinds of excuses and tell Jesus why I can't tell people about him. But everyone I come falls on deaf ears. I say, "Oh, I'm too scared. And Jesus says, "I have given you the Holy Spirit." Or sometimes we say, "Oh, I'm too shy. But Jesus says, "I have given you the Holy Spirit." Some say, "I don't want to." But Jesus says, "I have given you the Holy Spirit." No matter what I come up with, it cannot contradict the fact that Jesus Christ has promised me the power of God himself to give me the ability to tell others about him. Now, what do I need to do? I need to say to Jesus, "I accept the challenge, and I will tell my family, my friends, my acquaintances, my country and world about you." We can do it personally. We can do it by sponsoring others. We can do it by going on the mission field ourselves. We're not limited to any one methodology or means when it comes to spreading the gospel, but accepting the challenge. You know, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline." So when we go back to the "Oh, I am too scared," well, it says God has not given us a spirit of fear. And it says when we go, "Oh, look, I am too shy," it says God has not given us a spirit of timidity. No, and then when we go, "Oh, I don't want to," but God has given us the power of love and self-discipline. It's in there in God's Word. So, what is all that equal that I've been talking to you about this morning? What it equals is an emboldened and powerful church. That's what it equals. A bold challenge plus a bold acceptance equals an emboldened and powerful church. There is absolutely no doubt that this simple plan works. It's been demonstrated to be true over and over again throughout the history of the church. And do you remember what Peter was like when the Gospels were ending? He had denied Jesus 3 times and was hiding out like a coward because he was afraid what happened to Jesus might happen to him. And I think a lot of us are there. I know in my Christian walk early in the years, I was there. What I mean by saying that is that, yeah, I said, "Yeah, I believe in Jesus," but I hadn't actually walked with Jesus to the cross and laid my life down at the cross. Because when Peter saw this, he denied Jesus 3 times. He was hiding out. But then a total transformation took place in his life once he was emboldened by the power of the Holy Spirit, which happened after the cross when he saw Jesus. What God wants today is for every one of you to come to the cross and then walk on in grace, in love, in mercy. See, that is the problem. A lot of young people don't actually understand that they come into the church and they expect to be loved upon and a lot of grace and a lot of mercy and all that, but they haven't dealt with their sin. My goodness. And I totally get it because I was once there as well. We've got to come to the cross and lay our sin at the cross and accept Jesus as Lord of our lives and start following Him and His ways. A total transformation took place in his life once he was emboldened by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:36, it says, "So let it be clearly known by everyone in Israel that God has made as Jesus, for whom you crucified, to be both Lord and the Messiah." Acts 3:14, 15 says, "You rejected His holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him to life, and we are witnesses of this fact." See, Peter is preaching to basically the same crowds that he was running for before. But now he has accepted the challenge of Jesus and the empowerment of His Holy Spirit. And the result is a changed man. And as others experience the same acceptance of this challenge of Jesus, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in the church began to change lives in by the thousands. Chapter 2, verse 41 says, "Those who believed that Peter were baptized and added to the church, about 3,000 in all." Just from the basic gospel. Jesus died for you, went to the cross carrying all our sins, died, and then rose again so that we could live for eternity. and have a relationship with Him if we accept that and believe it. Each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. Acts 2:47, Acts 4:4. Many of the people who heard their message believed it, so that the number of believers totaled about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Acts chapter 6, verse 7, God's message was preached in ever-widening circles. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were also converted. Wow. Now, I could go on and on and on and show you one example after the other throughout the book of Acts, but that would show you that this type of expansive growth was not the exception, but it was the norm. And what I'm trying to get across is that this point is not just the norm for the ancient culture written about the book of Acts, but it's the norm for our church today in 2017 and beyond. And when the church is not seeing growth by people being converted to Christ as a result of the message of Christ being shared and spread out by the people of the church, you have a church that is being disobedient to Jesus Christ, and I don't ever, ever want to be disobedient to Jesus Christ. And that scares me if I am. Can I get real personal with you for a minute or two? God has not given us this land or this location for no reason. He's given it to us because He expects us to do something with it. And praise God, the leadership of this church for many years have done that. God has given us the physical tool of this building, but He's also given us the village. He's given us HCCO, the school, Table College, even Gracie's Cafe. We even have a person in this room that came and had breakfast at Gracie's Cafe, and now that person is in here worshipping us today. Praise God. He has equipped us spiritually by the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. The only ingredient that is necessary for this church to explode with growth through conversions to Christ is your participation and my participation in the process. Remembering that God will build His church. However, He will use whoever is willing to take up the challenge. Are you ready to take up the challenge? Are you ready to take up the challenge? Now, you can and will lead people to Jesus Christ if you allow yourself to be used by God and the empowering of His Holy Spirit. I can lead people to Christ if I allow myself to be used by God. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how skilled you are. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have or don't have hanging on your wall. All that matters is that you and I are willing to believe that Jesus' promise is true and accept the bold challenge that He has given to us. Then, and only then, we can fully accept to see God's using us for the glory, for building His kingdom and fulfillment of His plan. Love the music team up, please. You know, when we've been given a challenge like this, some may call that's the ultimate challenge. No, it's not the ultimate challenge. This is just the challenge. And I know I've been in some of your shoes when the pastor's got up and said, come on, you've got to take that challenge. You've got to take that challenge. And you're going, no, I'm not going to take that challenge. Too scary. But I want you to listen to yourselves this morning. I want you to listen to either, you know, like Fred Flintstone, the little devil on one side or the little angel on the other. But I want you to listen to those voices inside your head when I say this. Are you going to take up the challenge that Jesus Christ has given you this morning? If you're hearing this, no, I'm not going to get up. I'm not going to get up. I want you to fight that. Because that's not you. That's not you thinking. It's your flesh thinking. It's too hard. Don't think it's the enemy or the devil. It's your flesh. But if you're thinking on the other hand as well, oh, gee, the Holy Spirit is, yeah, I should be getting up. I want to get up. I want to get up. I want to take that. I want to draw the line in the sand. I want to be bold. I want to be bold. That's the Holy Spirit. I want to know right now who is willing to be bold to take that challenge. Stand up. Sorry, I should have said it more pastorally. Please stand up. How hard is it? Easy to pray, but how hard is it to talk to people about Jesus Christ? Pastor Fred on Monday night prayed over me and imparted into me an anointing of apostleship. Whoever wants to take up the challenge this morning, I want you to come up the front because I want to impart on you the power and the boldness of the Holy Spirit that is in me, that has been placed in me. I mean, I could never go up to my friends or family and talk about Jesus because I was stricken with fear. It was fear, it was like the flesh was on me. I even had a pastor about 6 months ago. He came up the front. He goes, "Just give. I want to be prayed for." And I said, "What for?" And he goes, "I want to have the boldness and the power to be able to tell my family about Jesus Christ." He gets up every Sunday morning and tells everyone else about Jesus Christ, but he couldn't have the boldness to tell his own family about Jesus Christ. Because he was stricken with fear of rejection. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just pray right now, Lord, for the children's workers up in children's kids' church, and we just say, Lord, just give them patience right now. But you're doing something pretty good here. Lord, the power and the Holy Spirit that raised you to life, Lord, that dwells in me and dwells in my brothers and sisters here in front of me. Lord, I pray now, Lord, you give them the revelation of that power that can bring dry bones back to life. Lord, that if we just speak into dry bones, if we just speak into flesh, if we just speak into minds of loved ones and family members, Lord, you'll bring them back to life and life for eternity. Heavenly Father, I pray now, Lord, I impart on my brothers and sisters a spirit of boldness that will cancel out all fear and intimidation, because fear and intimidation has no right to be in any of these vessels right now. Hallelujah. But Lord, I pray, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to just fill them afresh right now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Lord, forgive us for the times that we have not listened to you. Forgive us for the times, Lord, when we've just turned our back and gone, it's too hard, it's too scary. But Lord, I say to these people here, that I say to all your friends and all your families, look out, for a new day has come. And the Holy Spirit is welling up inside you all right now. You know, He created you to be His vessel. He created you to be bold and strong and powerful. But also, He also gave you the power of love and compassion. So, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, for divine appointments. Lord, I pray for this basket right here, right now, Lord, that this will be just, Lord, the names in here, Lord, will be fulfilled. But Lord, as they're fulfilled, Lord, we put new ones in and just keep overflowing this basket over the years. Heavenly Father, we take on what Pastor Fred spoke about this morning, about having a new way of doing things. But Lord, it starts with us right here in our own heart. So Lord, I pray for those divine appointments this week or next. I pray for that boldness. We thank you, Lord, for your love, for your compassion, for your mercy. Lord, that you'll never leave us or forsake us. We thank you for that promise. Hallelujah. 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 Now, there's some of you that have never seen signs and wonders. Never seen miracles happen, and you're wavering in your faith at the moment. If you just trust in the Lord, and this is not recipe theology or anything like that, but if you just trust in the Lord and tell people about Jesus, your faith and your boldness will rise, and you know what will happen? The Holy Spirit will say, hey, I want to work through you. And then you'll start to see signs and wonders and miracles. No, you won't see them. God will be using you in them. So, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, for that anointing as well. Lord, a healing anointing. Those that want it, take it right now. You want that healing anointing, take it right now. Because it works together with boldness. You know, just the other week, we saw a guy's leg grow. You might have loved ones that are sick right now, and maybe this is the opportunity you can have to say, oh, look, can I pray for your healing? Take that anointing right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.